Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey is denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Los Angeles. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. Here's Glenn Davis.
This time it's short, now played inside with Ronaldo.
One player on the field that you need to mark. Look at the little step forward in front of Da Costa and then back behind him to free himself. Cristiano Ronaldo wanted it more than anyone in the box. There's the ball played in. You see the move by Ronaldo to get behind his defender. The diving header. Nothing Munir can do.
Cristiano Ronaldo today. Three games in Group B. Yes, what you heard Ronaldo say. Four goals leading the tournament right now. Portugal going 1-0 over Morocco today. Portugal did not look very good, quite frankly. But Cristiano Ronaldo did for that one moment, and that is the difference between the Portugals, the Uruguays, and the Spains today. Because if you look at these three 1-0 score lines, you look at Iran, you look at Saudi Arabia, and you look at Morocco, and you go, they didn't play bad. In fact, Morocco, I think, outplayed Portugal. Problem is they do not have game changers. Cristiano Ronaldo will win you games you don't deserve to win. Like today against Morocco. Luis Suarez, superstar, gets his first against Saudi Arabia. And Diego Costa, maybe it was a lucky goal. Doesn't matter. He was in there, and he gets credited for it, Spain against Iran. So this is the difference between teams that are collective in nature and the Icelands. At some point, you have to have a game changer that can win you the game. And you can potentially advance. You can get into the knockout stages. I don't think you can win a World Cup without the game changers. Yeah, every once in a while, it'll happen. You know, Greece is an example winning the European Championship. Leicester City is an example from the collective winning the Premier League. Sure, law of averages say it's going to happen at some point. But today, 3-1-0 score lines and the winners, Portugal, Uruguay, and Spain. But the game changers, the world stars, the difference in Ronaldo, Suarez, and Diego Costa. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Our first hour is presented by the Texas Children's Hospital. We can't thank the Texas Children's Hospital enough for being our presenting sponsor, and we appreciate them and all the good things they do down at TCH in Houston. And as always, we're looking to create awareness for pediatric cancer. And, of course, the Texas Children's Hospital on top of all of that. All right, so the first hour brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. We got a number of different storylines here today. The number one thing I want to put out to you tonight at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, what has jumped out to you most at this World Cup? What has jumped out to you most at this World Cup? Is it a singular player? Is it a team? Is it a moment? Is it something tactical you saw? Give me your take at 713-780-3776. And producer Michael will get in touch with me via text, and we will get you on the air to get what your take is, because there's a number of interesting things going on here. I'm going to give you my take first. And by the way, here's who our guests are tonight on this show. We got a three-pronged attack here. We've got the all-time leading caps leader for the United States, Kobe Jones. We've got Warren Barton, who played for Newcastle in the Premier League. And we've got Mariano Trujillo, who has been capped by Mexico and has played a couple hundred games in Mexico, in Mexico in the first division down in Mexico in Liga MX. So 713-780-3776. What has jumped out to you most at this World Cup? Now, here's what's jumped out most to me. I go to Germany, and certainly the Mexico win over Germany, the passion, seeing people in Mexico celebrating in the Zocalo, going to the famous statue to celebrate. I mean, it's incredible. Totally incredible. Well-deserved. Chucky Lozano goal. But I'm going to take it into Germany. And by no means does this take anything away from what Mexico did, because Mexico was the better team. Movement, mobility. They beat Germany, hands down. But from a German perspective, I was absolutely stunned at the lack of technical change in the first half. In other words, after two or three counterattacks, nobody on the field tried to correct the problem. Jogi Löw apparently didn't try to correct the problem. Kroos and Kandira kept their unbalanced midfield play going. It was incredible to see Mexico just walking through movement, mobility, great decision-making, knocking the ball quickly, the German midfield. One would think that Jogi Löw and the players in the field would make a correction tactically. Amazingly, shockingly, it never happened. Jogi Löw, the tactical genius we've heard so much about. Players of world-class caliber on the field, playing at the biggest clubs in the world, don't make an adjustment. Mexico continues to walk through the German midfield like a hot knife to butter. Kroos and Kadira, ball given away. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing, quite frankly. Players bearing straight down on the German back four with 35 to 40 yards of space in front of them. Now, that's a frightening feeling for a defender, by the way, when you're backpedaling. Mexico should have been up 3-0. And I, in fact, thought, you know what? You made a mistake not getting a second goal. I didn't think one goal would stand. It did. So I say to myself, why wasn't this corrected? And the only answer I can come up with, and if there's anybody out there that has another take on this, was this was all out of arrogance from Germany. Defending World Cup champions, maybe they're just continuing to play the way they are because they think they're going to find their game. And in the end, they lose 3 points. Now, they got Sweden next, and that's a huge game. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. Want your thoughts on the World Cup. What has stood out to you most during the World Cup? Michael, do we have any calls?
No, not yet.
Okay, 713-780-3776. So mine is Germany getting destroyed on the counterattack by a more mobile Mexico and nobody making the tactical change and nobody correcting it tactically. So it never came. Cristiano Ronaldo leads the tournament with 4 goals now. Diego Costa has 3. And we're getting a lot of comparisons between Cristiano and Lionel Messi now. And all the Ronaldo fans are saying, well, let's see what Lionel can come up with tomorrow. Not an easy game against Croatia. How does Brazil regain the swagger against Costa Rica and St. Petersburg on Friday? How does Germany respond against Sweden on Saturday? Kind of interesting to see the big team struggling a bit here. I'm concerned this is going to be a set-piece tournament. I don't want that to be the story at the end of this World Cup in 2018. I want to see more goals in open play. I want to see more free-flowing play. Some of these teams are going to evolve. Some are going to devolve, de-evolution. Some will flatline, and it won't be good enough to move forward. But the stories, the drama, I don't know if you're like me. I'm getting up for every game very early in the morning. It has been an absolute joy that the World Cup is around again. And from all intents and purposes, things looking good in Russia. And speaking of Russia, their coach, Stanislav Chersov, is lauding his team. They're in the round of 16 already. They beat Egypt and Mosala 3-1 on Tuesday. They've scored 8 goals in their first 2 matches. Now, I hear everybody conditioning it. Oh, it's not against great competition. Remember, Russia limped into this thing to the point where they had to bring back a 38-year-old defender. And they've already gotten to the round of 16, so the pressure's off. So Russia's on the verge of making, or did make, the knockout stage for the first time since the Soviet era. Still, their game is going to have to be lifted a level. I don't think there's any question. 8 goals in the first 2 games doesn't win you the World Cup. But Russia had a 7-game winless streak heading into this one. And the manager, Cherchesov, said his team never panicked. He said there was no problems around here. They are a completely different team, he said, and this is one of the happiest days of his life. And they're hoping that there's more to come when it comes to Russia. So it's not a bad thing having the Russian national team do well. The host nation keeps the buzz going. Not that it wouldn't stay anyway, but it's certainly interesting. I want to see what Yogi Löw does with Mesut Ozil. I want to see what he does with Khedira. They both had really rough games. Apparently, there's all kinds of stuff that went on during Germany's training on Monday. Apparently, it was an intense training session. There were crisis talks. The players are sorting issues out amongst themselves. No one shirks responsibility. That's what Manuel Neuer has said. We've already talked a lot about the game on the bus and at every meal. So we'll see what type of response Germany has. And how about that? Band Blatter arriving in Russia. Sepp Blatter is in Moscow. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? That's really big news. 713-780-3776 to the phone lines we go. Let's start it off with Dylan tonight. Dylan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, long-time listener, man. I love your show.
Thank you very much for calling in.
I'm going to say something about Mexico and Germany. It was crazy to me watching Mexico went out and attacked, and it was extremely impressive. And I think you were spot on. German arrogance at its finest in that showing. That is not something that we normally see from a side like that. And I'm a huge Bayern Munich fan, so I'm familiar with a lot of these players on the German national team. And they definitely had less than their best game that day. And it was kind of concerning because the group is not a weak group with Sweden coming up next. And so I'm kind of eager to see how they're going to change that, if they do change anything at all, or if, like you said, they think they're going to play into it. So I think you were really spot on with that, man. But Mexico has something going for them for sure, I think, as well.
Well, and Mexico's challenge now is in their next group game is to not play down to the competition. And they've got South Korea next. And Mexico's been known to do that at times, and it's going to be a different type of a game. But in the case of Germany against Sweden, Sweden's feeling pretty good. They got a full 3 points in their first game. They're going into a game against Germany that certainly they know is going to be a challenge for them, but they're built on the collective, and they're going to have to be broken down. I see the Germans responding. That's not to say that Sweden didn't have a monumental win. Granqvist from the penalty area. From the penalty spot, excuse me, was the difference in that one. But, yeah, that to me was the most shocking thing I've seen in this World Cup so far, was just their inability to try and correct the problem. I mean, that is what was stunning to me. I mean, this is the German national team. This was the Mannschaft. This was the defending right. World Cup champions. And you mean to tell me between Yogi Löw, the coach, and the players on the field, they couldn't correct the counter, and Mexico just cutting through them like there was no tomorrow. And that's not taking anything away from Mexico, because Mexico deserved right. everything they got in this game, and actually were fun to watch. I loved watching Vela and company make it happen. I'm glad Chucky Lozano scored. I, like many, predicted him as a breakout player in this World Cup. So good for Mexico, good for the celebrations. Mexico, get your feet back on the ground. You got South Korea next. This thing is far, far from over. And a German result like that, which is historic, has to be tagged with a great game against South Korea.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Dylan?
Absolutely. No, man, I think you got it right. It was really just shocking to see that Mexico kept on with the counterattack, and a defensively strong team like Germany just couldn't hold them off. And it was just really weird to watch. But I think over everything, Belgium looked the strongest to me so far, and I think that's my favorite. Other than that, I've got nothing for you, man. I appreciate you taking me.
Thank you very much, Dylan. Much appreciated. Now, here's what Thomas Muller said, and this is to my point. Thomas Muller has come out. He said Germany, quote, misjudged the situation, talking about Mexico, by believing they would click into gear ahead of the 1-0 loss to Mexico. So I think that almost is backing my theory up of arrogance. So thank you very much for calling in, Dylan. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. You have a good one, man.
You too. Thank you, Dylan. Fundamentally, it maybe was a bit reckless to think that after those friendlies, albeit addressing the mistakes and working on them, we'd be there with a certain freshness and play to our usual strengths once the tournament started. This is Muller talking. And he said, quote, in hindsight, we definitely misjudged the situation. Yeah, you did. And you weren't able to come out of it. I mean, you weren't able to get any clarity from your coach or the guys on the field to stem that Mexico tide in the first half. Let's keep it going. Let's go to I. I believe it's I. Is it I? He joins us here.
This is AY.
AY, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How are you, Glenn?
I'm very good. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
All right. I knew you had the Nigerian match on Friday. You called the Nigerian match on Friday.
Correct.
Can you tell us what really happened? Did you see that the Nigerians had no bite? There was no passion? Do you know what went wrong? Can you say what went wrong to the Nigerian team?
I can only give you my opinion.
Okay, please.
I'm like you. This didn't look like the Super Eagles, right? It didn't look like the team that took risk, the team that has super confidence. I think there was an overdependence on Victor Moses. I think we have to credit Croatia as well. But if you remember in the press conference, Gernot Rohr, ahead of this game, said this team is 4 years away from it. So he really lowered the bar. And I'm not sure if he did that on purpose for what reasons. He might have been doing it to take the pressure off young guys, AY.
Okay.
But I was still disappointed that Nigeria wasn't being Nigeria, right? I didn't get the Super Eagle feel. Right?
No bite.
No,
so
right, exactly.
I felt let down. I'm not saying Croatia was not a good team. They have star players. Agreed. But you see, look at the way Iran played today. They played very well. Look at the way Morocco played. They played well, but they lost. But Nigeria did not even play well. That's my point.
Well, and I would say even in your country, look at how Senegal has come out with confidence and going after people, right?
Yeah.
One of the African representatives.
Then my second point is about Cristiano Ronaldo. Before this World Cup, I was always debating who was better between Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But after what he did on Friday, what he did against Spain, no, I have to give it to him. I give it to him, especially coming clutch at that free kick he took. Because it was an 86-minute free kick, and he came with his clutch.
And super clutch.
That is only players of that caliber that can deliver at that time. It was a clutch free kick. Okay, people said that it was a penalty, the first goal. The second goal was a De Gea error. But when it started goal, we all kept quiet. It was clutch.
And I bet you, AY, you were like me. When he was standing over that free kick, didn't you feel like he was going to tie the game? It feels like a penalty kick, not a free kick, right, with a wall?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, no, this game's tied. I'm going to dinner after this. This is a 3-3 draw. Unbelievable. I mean, I think the confidence of that man is incredible. I would even go to today, right? You said it. Morocco deserves tremendous credit. They were the better soccer team than Portugal. I was not impressed with the way Portugal play. Yet, Ronaldo provides the difference because he is Ronaldo, and you win a game you don't deserve to win because that game changer happens to be on your team.
Yes.
Yeah, he is remarkable, and I think right now the temperature is going to be all Ronaldo. He's got four goals. Messi looked very, very weathered and heavy-legged.
He looked ordinary on Saturday.
Yeah.
He looked ordinary. But one more question. When is the next game you are calling?
The next game I'm calling is Serbia and Switzerland with Kobe Jones on Friday.
All right. I'll be looking forward to that.
All right, AY, thank you very much for calling in. And, you know, I'm still a Super Eagles fan, so I hope they can turn it around in game number two.
If they don't turn it around, they'll be going home, that's for sure, like Egypt and Morocco.
Well, they got Iceland, and they're going to have to break Iceland down.
But Iceland, did you see the game against Argentina? Iceland had a game plan, and they executed it. Once Messi touched the ball, you see three players surrounded him. So Iceland had a game plan. So it's not a walkover. Anything can happen.
No, for sure. It's a big second game for them. So it's not over yet. Let's see if they can respond. I think that's the beautiful thing about all these games that are setting up now. Is Brazil going to respond? Is Germany going to respond? You know, is Nigeria going to respond? I mean, this is, you know, your fallback position is your second game in group play right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks.
You're the best, AY. Thank you very much. 713-780-3776. We always have great Super Eagle fans. Okay, I guess we're going to take a quick break here from Los Angeles. Before we go, though, a couple of things here. First off, I am very in tune with the Texas Children's Hospital. Go down there a lot, do a lot in the community to try to shine the light on the Texas Children's Hospital and the people that work there and the incredible young pediatric cancer patients that are in the fight of their lives. And quite frankly, they've got challenges that a lot of us do not have. Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. They're the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories. They've got 200 active clinical trials that are dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorder. So the research is constant. And the reason the research is constant is because we want to protect our children. And for more than 60 years, the Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of these standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital is a not-for-profit that relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. You know, kind of like we did an event with the wonderful author from Manchester United, Tom Clary, brought over Alex Stepney, the famous United goalkeeper. We raised some wonderful funds and awareness. And don't forget, hundreds of kids every year are diagnosed at TCH. And for the people at Texas Children's Hospital, it isn't a job. It's life for Texas Children. So our thanks to them. And Bud Light, as the host of Soccer Matters, the World Cup's here. The games are being played during work hours. The only thing that is going to help us survive this catastrophe is what? Our friends. With them, it's easier to sneak from your boss, make up excuses, and extend your lunch break to 90-something minutes. So here's to the friend you can always count on, Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup Games and a proud sponsor of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Let's take a break. It's a Texas Children's Hospital break.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Los Angeles. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. Here's Glenn Davis.
Here in Group F for Sweden. Sweden goes up. It's an ice-cold penalty. Grundqvist has done it. His name in lights, and Sweden, a 1-0 lead over South Korea.
Sweden, the next opponent for the German national team, the defending World Cup champions, and they're up against it. 713-780-3776, what has jumped out to you most at this World Cup? Just want to remind you, my friends at Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage BMW in Midtown. numerous times. My sales person down there, Sergio Martinez. I love the drive of the BMW. After all, it is the ultimate driving machine. I've got a 5 Series. Absolutely love it. Now, the other thing that I love about Advantage Midtown, BMW, customer service, second to none. You got a problem, you got a nail in your tire, you drive in, they take care of it. You get a loaner car, it's perfect for a guy like me. I'm not like the under-the-hood guy when it comes to cars. Doesn't mean I don't like working, but I'm just not the car guy. I never got that gene from my military father. Advantage at BMW Midtown is you covered with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to my friends Sergio Martinez, Justin McGeehy, and Philip Southwick. These guys love soccer down there. So if you're in the market for a BMW, do it at Advantage BMW Midtown. Kings Court is the place to be in Edo. It's 903 Hutchins in the shadow of BBVA Compass Stadium. The court has 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires. Covers all the leagues from around the world. It's got the World Cup on now. They got the rooftop deck, spectacular, with a great view of BBVA Compass Stadium. Great place to go pregame dynamo, postgame dynamo and dash. British and Indian pub style cuisine is a winner at Kings Court. Great food, staff, selection of bar and cocktails, all at great prices. Go in, say hello to Jay. It's KingsCourtHouston.com. Let's go to Art. Art, what's on your mind tonight, Art?
It's Mark.
Oh, Mark. How are you? Mark, yeah. How are you?
I'm good. So I wanted to touch on about what you're saying earlier about the World Cup being a little slower than usual. Well, that you have a fear of it being a set piece tournament or whatever.
Well, I don't know if it's okay. Go ahead. Yep, I'm listening.
But you know, for me, for my personal take, I mean, I've watched I think 90% of the games. Aside from the three big matches like Portugal, Spain, and Germany, Italy, and I think the third best game that I've seen was the Denmark Peru game. All the other matches have been, you know, I guess David versus Goliath matches, and David's just trying to hold on, make sure they don't get outscored like 5-0, whatever. I think that Saudi Arabia Russia game kind of opened the eyes of a lot of people, a lot of teams, especially the lower teams, to kind of go for the counter, park the bus, as you would say, because you know it's just one of those things where a huge score like that and that can affect you from advancing, you know, and you see a group like the Portugal, Spain, Iran, Morocco group, you know, if Iran somehow beats Portugal or whatever, Portugal, I mean, they're going through, you know.
Well, I'm going to disagree a little bit with you because I thought Morocco today outplayed Portugal. I thought the difference
was a world-class soccer player
named Cristiano Ronaldo, a game-changer, sure. And that's what Morocco didn't have. But I thought Morocco was impressive today.
No, and they were impressive both games, especially against
– And they didn't park the bus either.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but, you know, the first game against Iran, it was kind of, you know, even level, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they just unfortunately, you know, had the own goal, whatever, at the end. But like I said, you know, like a lot – but like you see Iceland against Argentina – you know, things like that. I believe, what was the other game I saw? I saw it real heavy. Can't think of it right now.
I liked your call on Denmark-Peru. I thought that was a great game.
Yeah, that was a great game, you know. And, I mean, if it weren't for that missed penalty and a lot of missed opportunities from Peru, I mean, that game could have easily been a 4-2 game, 3-2 game, you know, or who knows what, you know. But yeah, that's just my observation. I mean, because there's been a lot of you know little teams versus big teams right now, and you know now that we're going to the second wave of the group games, we're gonna kind of see a little bit more parity, I guess. Hopefully,
well, I've seen a lot of parity right now. I think there's a lot of teams that have competed very well here. They may not have gotten results. I think Iran is a good story. Saudi Arabia bounced back to compete against Uruguay today. Morocco, I thought again outplayed Portugal.
And I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's just you know from my observation. You know, because you know, like a lot of these teams have a lot of like since a lot of top teams, they have a lot of firepower. And a lot of the lower teams, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where like, look, we're gonna defend, and when we get our opportunity, we're gonna strike. You know, because I mean, like if you take the Iceland-Argentina game, for example, Iceland had a lot of opportunities to score goals. It just, you know, they missed their opportunities, whatever. But as soon as they, you know, they kind of got to the 1-1 tie again, they kind of just, you know, took the foot off the pedal.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark. I want to get to Warren Barton, who's calling the games as an analyst for Fox, a former Newcastle player. Mark, thank you very much for calling in. Points taken. We appreciate it. So let's go to Warren Barton now. And Warren, I guess Mark is saying some will evolve, some will de-evolve, and some are going to flatline in this tournament. I guess we're in for surprises, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's why it's been so fascinating, Glenn. I mean, even from the opening game where Russia, you think, maybe going to stumble and make it a difficult game and blow Saudi Arabia out 5-0, and then followed by that exciting game with Portugal. And then the list goes on, you know, Mexico overturning Germany. It's been a real fascinating tournament. You know, we've been in the middle of it all and finding out what's been going on. The French, you know, win, but not very convincingly. England get a result. So I think there's a lot of top teams. And, you know, the game today with Iran and Spain, if it wasn't for, you know, Costa getting a bit fortunate with a ricochet and bouncing off his knee, they made it very, very difficult. So, you know, we've had some excellent games. And I think the difference between the top teams, as you rightly said, there is someone like a Ronaldo or Harry Kane that can put the ball in the back of the net. And that's the difference between the good teams and the great teams.
Yeah, and today we saw, you know, three very competitive teams not expected to win, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Iran. They all go down 1-0. And guess who the goal scorers are? Ronaldo, Suarez, and Diego Costa, three of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that will maybe turn around. And I was always thinking maybe second game, maybe the lesser nations won't be able to lift themselves again. And, you know, maybe fatigue and, you know, concentration, that starts coming into it. And, you know, obviously players getting injured and suspensions with Colombia. But, you know, today's, if anything, today's going to go by, they're going to be even tougher games and tighter games going into your second and third game. So there's no given at the moment. And, you know, even with Iran today losing, they've still got a chance if they can beat Portugal, which is a maybe. It's not out of the question.
No. Warren Barton, Fox analyst, Newcastle. Real good tactical acumen you have in looking at games, Warren. I enjoyed your call today. I want to take you back to Mexico-Germany, because the thing that has jumped out to me most at this World Cup, I answered my own question, was the tactical naivety of Germany in the first half against Mexico. They're getting killed on the counterattack. Manager doesn't make any sort of a tactical change. The players on the field don't make a tactical change. And they're fortunate they went off, you know, only down 1-0. But that still, to me, is the most stunning thing. And Thomas Muller came out today saying basically that they just thought that they were going to find their game. I thought it was a level of arrogance from Germany.
Yeah, and possibly so, you know. And I think when you win the World Cup the last time out, Confederations Cup, and take your, you know, B team or minus B team and go and win that as well, that is going to give you some maybe overconfidence. It might be the wake-up call that they need, because Mexico, probably out of any of the teams, had a game plan today. I know we've seen people defend, but, you know, that Juan Carlos Osorio had a game plan. That earlier on, they was going to press. Then halfway through the second half, they sat back. Then they went again, and it just disrupted the German team. They wasn't sure whether they was pressing. They didn't know whether they was going to sit back. And, you know, if it wasn't for maybe a bit more clinical finishing, it could have been 2-0 or 3-0. And, you know, when you're an international coach, you don't really get a lot of time to coach. It's more me, you know, Sir Bobby Robson used to say to me, it's more like man management, getting your better players, giving them a foundation, and hopefully you make the right calls when you need to, whether it's substitutions or players that are obviously starting. But they had a game plan, and it really, really picked off, and it'd be totally different to the next game that they play. And you're right, I think the Germans thought, well, this is going to be a tough game, but we've got enough quality. It'll be Cruz that finds the pass. Ozil might find the pass. You know, Timo Werner will get in behind and get a chance. And you can't rely on anyone, and none of them really stepped up to take the mantle. And, you know, longer the game went on, the Mexicans was getting comfortable, getting set in their ways. And it was a really, really good performance. And I think that showed everybody in this tournament, because normally you go in and there's a real hot favourite. You say, yeah, they're the team that's going to win it. They're the best team by far. If they play well, they don't matter what anyone else does, they're going to win it. I don't think there is. I mean, Spain, again, have looked okay. Germany, obviously, got beat. You put Argentina, they couldn't get past, obviously, Iceland with Messi. Portugal, you know, look good, but they still look a little bit vulnerable and not look like they're going to score many goals. So I think it's really wide open. And, you know, if someone can put a run together, you know, who would have predicted Japan beating, you know, having their result against Colombia? Because Colombia are probably the favourites of that group. So, as I said at the opening, it's been fascinating, Glenn.
No, it absolutely has. It's been so much fun, and it's only going to get better tomorrow. I'm looking at some of these big powers. I'm looking at the likes of France, who needs a good game. I'm looking at Germany responding against Sweden. I'm looking at Argentina against a very physical and a game Croatia. And I'm just fascinated, Warren, to see what happens in these second games, these bounce-back games, because, you know, you're up against the wall now if you're Germany.
Yeah, logically, you're going to say, right, you know, Martin O'Neill said it on the show today with Fox, the better teams normally figure it out. That doesn't always materialise. You know, the Germans are now relying on Mexico to slip up to be top of their group. If not, they're playing for second fiddle, which is unlike the Germans. They're not used to being in that position. You know, and with Messi at the end of the game, when the, you know, they missed the penalty and Iceland are celebrating, and he had that, it seemed like an eternity in the centre circle, 45 seconds, a minute of just disbelief. And it's the first time, really, I felt sorry for him, because it seemed like the pressure and the cameras went up to Diego Maradona. Then it comes back down to him, and all those things are going through his mind. He's now got to motivate himself again. And people say, well, he should be motivated. He's playing for his country. He's the captain. He should be their leader and show him what to do. But the pressure that he's under, where Ronaldo, on the other sense, he thrives on that. The more pressure, the better he becomes. You know, that free kick against Spain, he couldn't drag it out any longer if he wanted to. He was puffing his cheeks out, closing his eyes, looking down, looking around, and the tension mounting. Where Messi, on the other hand, is just wants to get away from the spotlight, but he's in it now, and he's got to obviously try and find a way to get a result, because, you know, all the expectation and pressure will be on his shoulders. And Neymar, throw that into it, because he seems that he's trying to prove too much. You know, he got kicked to pieces against Switzerland, and a lot of that is down to him wanting to do too much. He doesn't have to. When you've got Coutinho, William, you know, Firmino that can come on, you've got talented players. You don't have to do everything yourself. So he might have to grow up quicker.
I thought Gus Hiddink on the desk in Moscow in Red Square had a great comment.
He's great,
about
isn't
him.
He, my friend? He looks like he's just got off a yacht from Saint-Tropez and just comes walking along. There's no time.
Or had a great night of vodka and caviar. I don't know, one of the other. But
he's just come straight from the nightclub. He looks $1 million.
He's having a great time. But he had a great comment, because he said basically, look, if you're going to keep getting fouled in your Neymar, get around the 18 so that you can punish those fouls, or get inside the penalty area where you have to be treated differently. I mean, Neymar on a set piece around the 18, if you're going to foul him repeatedly, you seem to be picking the ball up very deep.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And I said it today with people like Isco. He kept coming deep and on the halfway line. And if I'm the defending team, I'm delighted. I want Neymar to be on the halfway line getting the ball, because he's not going to get past five or six of them, not with both legs anyway. You know, that's the way that Switzerland went about it. If you're going to pick the ball up there, you might go past one, but, you know, someone's going to grab you around the neck or kick you in the ankle and bring you down. So if he is, like I said, he's get smarter and pass the ball and move it around. I mean, I always got told by a coach, the ball's round to go round, and you can share that with other players. Or, like you said, get further up the field so we can give you the ball and make things happen. We did that with David Ginola. You know, the closer we got to the goal, we used to give him the ball. You get free kicks, penalties, and take people on at Newcastle. So, you know, that's the same concept that we did 20 years ago.
It's a pretty simple theory, right? Get your skilled players the ball near the penalty area.
I've always said, my friend, it's not rocket science. You know, there's people that, you know, try and break it down and have all these ideas. It's just get your better players closer to the goal, and then you've got a chance of winning the game.
I love it, Warren. Simplicity is genius. You know that, Warren? Simplicity
maybe,
is genius.
Maybe we're old, my friend. Maybe we're old and a bit that's simple. Okay. Maybe that comes into it.
That's okay. We'll go down together. What's your next game?
My next game is tomorrow, actually. I've got the early one that I'm doing, which I think, you know, is going to be fascinating with Australia. You know, coming off against a really good performance, that they need to do well and get a result. So, yeah, I've got the early game, so I'm looking forward to that.
Warren, thank you very much for the call, for coming on the program tonight here, and have a great call tomorrow on your match.
Yeah, you're a gentleman. Take care, my friend.
All right, that's the one and only Warren Barton, Newcastle defender, and also Fox analyst. You can catch him tomorrow morning. He's got the he's got the early game tomorrow. Okay, so let's quickly go to Philip. Philip wants to say something about Poland. Philip, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. First-time caller, but I really enjoy your show. I just wanted to get your opinion on how does Poland bounce back in game two? And I'll hang up and listen, but just wanted to hear your thoughts on Poland. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, Poland obviously did not pick up points. They had real trouble with Senegal. Of course, that was a pretty bizarre second goal that Senegal got. I'm not sure. Was that Niang who got the second one? Trying to remember. But it was that bizarre situation where a player was bought, was allowed to go back on the Polish player was passing the ball back to Chesney, and he runs off the sideline like a hockey change, picks up the ball and goes in and scores. Poland's got I think their midfield game has to improve. They've obviously got to unleash and unbridle Robert Lewandowski. He did not come into this World Cup, I don't think, in the best of places. You watched him in the Champions League against Bayern Munich. Japan and Senegal right now are sitting on 3 points apiece. You know, what does Poland do? Poland's got to get their midfield game going. I think the middle third of the field has to be controlled by them in order for good things to happen. And, you know, look, Senegal, to their credit, has certainly kind of stuck their flag in the ground here. They're not going to be an easy team to play against. Nobody's going to have it easy against them. And Poland's in a bit of trouble now because you're going to run up against Japan that beat Colombia. And then Colombia's got to have a rebirth here real quick after that sort of debacle that they had with Japan where they had a player sent off early. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. I appreciate that from Philip. And Philip, I appreciate you being a first-time caller. Before we go to break here, quick word here for FM Kitchen and Bar, located one block north of Washington on Shepherd. Get in there. World Cup watching is on there. They enjoy expertly crafted cocktails, amazing burgers, chicken sandwiches, ribs. It's great Southern comfort food. I eat there a lot because I live in that neighborhood. FM Kitchen and Bar has an amazing patio. There's 13 indoor and outdoor monitors for you. You're going to see the game wherever it is. Get in there, watch the World Cup. The patio is great because if you're somebody with a family and kids, you do the patio, and it's pet friendly as well, so the entire family can come. FM Kitchen and Bar. Say hello to Ryan. Catch the World Cup there. We had the great Champions League final party there. It was a lot of fun. Watch the World Cup at FM Kitchen and Bar right near Washington, one block north on Shepherd. And Tranquility Home Systems, my friend Jesse. If you need a new home system, home theater system, get a free quote from Jesse and get on your way to home theater installation. You love sports. Why deny yourself that home theater setup? Especially now with the World Cup getting more exciting by the day. Tranquility Home Systems, THS, 20 years of experience. Get the latest 4K video technology. Call Jesse. This is his personal number, 281-506-7822. Hit up the THS website at www.ths3inc.com. They do networking, lighting design, motorized shades, home audio, and home theater. Get it from Jesse at 281-506-7822. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Los Angeles. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. Here's Glenn Davis.
Well, when in L.A., you got to have a little Guns N' Roses, right? As we welcome you back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. The three results today, Portugal 1-0 winners over Morocco. Michael Hernandez back in studio. Michael, next time? Let that roll a little bit, that beautiful Guns N' Roses, sweet child of mine. Appreciate Michael. There you go. See that? Just like that, magic is back. Appreciate Michael and his work tonight here producing from back in Houston. And I appreciate everybody out here at ESPN LA for getting me set up. John helped get it set up as well. So thanks to everyone, Adam Bronstein as well, and Mike Pearson. All right, so Portugal 1-0 winners over Morocco, Uruguay 1-0 winners over Saudi Arabia, and Spain got past Iran. Tomorrow, great games on tap, as there are every day. Incredible matches tomorrow. So here's what we got on the docket tomorrow. Denmark and Australia in the morning. So the Danes against Australia. You got France and Peru, and then Argentina, Croatia. Can Lionel Messi and company bounce back? Put a circle around that France-Peru match. That is going to be an incredible game. as well. All right. Join me in Soccer Matters at the Gorgeous Gale for seven, count them, seven live shows during the World Cup. We're going to start it on June 30th. We're going to watch the World Cup Soccer Matters style, then recap it live. Live guests from around the world of soccer will be coming in Houston. Ticket giveaways, all at a great Irish pub in West University. That's the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. Come over there. Going to be a lot of Soccer Matters listeners there for these events. Stop in, get a pint, a bite. Enjoy the games. They got the nice outdoor patio there. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 live radio shows during the World Cup at the Gorgeous Gale. Our ESPN team will be there as well. So gorgeousgale.com. And then Liberty Kitchen. Delicious modern comfort food at Liberty Kitchen. Beautiful neighborhood restaurants. They're in River Oaks, Memorial City, The Heights. And they're designed by my friend Carl Leaves. Gulf Coast influence. Raw bar. Oysters, a big part of it. Hot smoked Seattle salmon. People love the signature bacon jam and macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese is a guest favorite. One of my favorites at Liberty Kitchen, for sure. Great brunch, business meetings, or just plain hanging out to watch the World Cup or the Dynamo. Great mixed cocktails, wine, and beer. See you at Liberty Kitchen. So that's what we got Thursday. Friday continues to get good. Brazil in a bounce back against Costa Rica. Ticos need something big to happen there. Nigeria. Super Eagles against Iceland. It's a challenge for the Super Eagles. It's a young Nigeria. Serbia and Switzerland, Kobe Jones and I will have the call of that game from Kaliningrad, which is very interesting as a city, by the way. It's the westernmost site in this World Cup. It's actually a territory of Russia. It's bordered by Lithuania and Poland and the Baltic Sea. It's a very, very interesting city. It goes back to Prussian times, but Kaliningrad will have Serbia and Switzerland. Looking forward to that one. All right, so here's a soundbite from Philippe Senderos, Michael. If you can get Philippe Senderos' soundbite, Philippe played in the World Cup a number of times for Switzerland, and he had some thoughts about Switzerland ahead of their match against Serbia this Friday, June 22nd.
Yeah, I believe in this team. I believe in this generation of players, and I know how talented they are and how well they can, you know, grind results out in tough games like the Brazil one. And, you know, sometimes the favorites don't win on the first game. It's better to get them nice and early, and Switzerland have a lot of quality, so hopefully they can pull through and make it to the group, past the group stages.
That was Philippe Senderos, Switzerland taking on Serbia this Friday. A moment here for Texas Children's Hospital at Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center, the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Think about that, in Houston. We can stake claim to that. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. More than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. Texas Children's Hospital. It's a not-for-profit that relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. They do that through a 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. And before we hit break here, as the host of Soccer Matters, I want to remind you one thing. The World Cup is here. Games are being played during working hours. You know that. I know that. There's only one thing that is going to help us survive this catastrophe. Our friends. With them, it's easier to sneak from your boss, make up excuses, and extend your lunch break to 90-something minutes. So here's to the friend you can always count on. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup Games and a proud sponsor of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Stay with us, Fox analyst Mariano Trujillo. We're going to talk Mexico and El Tri coming up next. Stay with us. Mariano is up next, former player in the Mexican League, and has played for Mexico as well. Let's take a Bud Light break. And to everybody down at Advantage BMW, Philip, Justin, Sergio, thank you very much for your support. We'll take a break, Bud Light break.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.